Blog Talk Radio.
And I came to tell you, it's coming down, it's coming down. Come on, get up and let's help us do this song right here. Come on, God. Let's sing it like we're back in the 80s.
Walk around.
Just walk around.
Cause there is no more.
Stop it, stop it.
In your head. Praise God. Welcome to Blog Talk. I am a substituting for Prophetess Teresa. There has been death in her family. There were two deaths in her family, and we want to keep her in prayer and her family in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to minister the Word of God, to give to the people what we feel the Spirit of God has given us to give out. And Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you, and we bless your name. My name is Minister Sophia Parks. I'm a member of Bethel AME in Detroit, Michigan, and I'm part of the clergy staff there. And I know these are some rather large shoes I have to fill tonight, but if you just bear with me, I will endeavor to give you what I believe the Lord has given me. My title today is Keeping a Watch Over Your Heart. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 16. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want to do a little brief explanation of the helmet of salvation. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and he likened the helmet of salvation to the armor that the centurions and the soldiers in the Roman days wore. They wore a helmet. They had a breastplate. They had a protection around their loins. They had special shoes on. They had a shield, and they had a sword. Now, that's what he would liken it unto back in the Roman days. If I may say the armor that our soldiers wear, they have a helmet. They have some kind of protection, a protective suit that protects their chest and their loins and their body. They have special shoes. They have a gun. And their shield could be another particular kind of weapon. And then the word and the sword of the Spirit would be their command from their soldiers, from their officers. But as Christians, we too must have an armor. As in verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So whatever is coming against us is not the person, it's the spirits that are behind it, which could be against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is relating to all kinds of spirits in the spirit realm. We know Satan is the god of this world, so he lives in the atmosphere above us. Remember when Daniel prayed and his prayer was held up for 3 weeks, there was a battle between Michael the archangel and those demons to get Daniel's prayer through. That's where the fight is, in the heavenlies. Spiritual wickedness in dark places can also mean people above us in high offices, where they allow the evil spirits, the more evil spirits to reside, because they can be over regions, over cities, over nations, over countries, over different sects of people, SECT people, different types of people living in different areas. There are principalities, there are ruling demons over those principalities and powers. But in order, saints, in order to be able to stand, we must have this warfare, this armor on. We must always have it on and never take it off. The helmet of salvation. Scriptures like, let your mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The helmet of salvation protects the head, protects the mind. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But you first have to hear it. It's in your ears. That's where your hearing is, what you see, what you taste, is in your head, in your face. This helmet protects your head. Thinking on the scriptures, and that's where your mind is. Thinking on the scripture says he'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. If you trust as you trust in him, all these scriptures will protect your mind, will protect what you think. Your loins girded about with truth. Loins is where our reproduction area is. That's where we naturally reproduce. That's where children are conceived. Spiritually, that's where you reproduce spiritually. Your loins have to be girded with truth. So as you go out and you minister to people, that you're giving them the truth, that you are covered in the word, that you are covered with the truth. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That your feet, wherever you walk, be careful where you walk, that wherever you go, that you're not running to and fro, being a busybody, a loud mouth, sowing dissension among the brethren, that you're careful where your feet go. And it has the gospel of peace. All Christians are ministers of reconciliation. We all epistles, living epistles, read of all men. People don't read their Bibles, they read us. First thing they'll say is, I thought she was a Christian. Well, they have their own preconceived notions of what Christians are. So we must have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must bring peace wherever we go. We should not be part of the problem. We should be part of the solution. Wherever our feet takes us, we should be, if there's confusion and disarray and turbulence and all kinds of bad stuff going on, when we walk in, we should have peace about us. We should bring peace to the situation, not continue to stir the situation up, but bring peace. We should have the shield of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. So as you hear the word of God, your faith increases. Do you need faith? Oh, absolutely. Yes, you do. There are times in your life where you have to believe God for virtually the impossible. Well, how do you believe him? Because you have built your faith up in the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Bible. We get all of our scriptures and all of our strength from the word of God. So that's our sword. That's what we fight with. We fight with the word of God. When something comes across us, as always, we can always use healing. We always all need healing in one form or another. Even if you stub your toe, even if you have a hangnail. From the least serious to the greatest, we still need faith in God. And as an example, if you get a bad report from the doctor, you need to have faith in God that he will heal you. He will deliver you. He will set you free. Or maybe it's not healing. Maybe you have some injustice done toward you. You still need to trust that God can do for you, can get you out of the situation, can give you mercy and give you favor with certain people or the people that you need. Yes, you do need the word of God. You need to know that there are benefits for you. You need to know that it's more than just healing that he's provided for you. He's provided for you to be an overcomer of this world. He's provided that you can grow in him, that you can have a full life, a full Christian life, a full life full of, yes, trials and tribulations and afflictions. But guess what? He's always there to deliver us out of them all. The scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he shall deliver them out of them all. Tests and trials come to make you strong. I know it sounds cliche-ish, but tests and trials bring forth patience. Praise patience brings forth humility. It brings forth maturity so that you will be entire in Christ and wanting nothing. So you need the word of God. But what we want to talk about today is the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate covers the heart. When you go to the doctor, what does he take out? He takes out a stethoscope. What does he do? He checks your heart. Yes, he gets your heartbeat. He gets your lung function because he has you to breathe in and breathe out in the back, on your back. So you hear your lung function. He takes your blood pressure. Your heart regulates your blood. The blood that's going in and out of your veins. If there's something not right, if there's a valve that's not opening and closing, he can hear it. He can tell it. But that's the heart. If the heart is not strong and functioning, the body cannot be. The mind can be ever so bright and ever so on it and ever so present, now present. But if your heart is not working, your body slows down. Some people can't walk up and down steps. They lose breath. They have a heart problem. Some people cannot walk because can barely walk. They shuffle. It's a heart problem. A heart problem. But for the Christian, we must protect our hearts. For the scripture says, Proverbs 4 and 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your challenges come. Whatever you let get in your heart becomes what you meditate on, what you think about, what you want to do, what you don't want to do, how you feel about things are the issues of life. So keep your heart. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Keeping on the breastplate of righteousness, which means we take on the righteousness of Christ. What does that mean? Christ died, and we accepted him as our Savior. Then all of his righteousness we take on. Oh, yeah, we fall. Yeah, we do. But guess what? We don't wallow in it. Scripture says, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. Proverbs chapter 24 and 16. So we want to keep our hearts. We want to keep a clean heart before God. We don't want a root of bitterness to spring up in our hearts. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. We don't want a root of bitterness to spring up in us. Bitterness, oh my God, bitterness. Bitterness is akin to unforgiveness. Because if you let that unforgiveness linger in your heart long enough, it turns into bitterness. And let's hear what the scriptures have to say about unforgiveness. Mark 11, verses 20, I'm going to read 26 through 20. Mark 11, I'm going to read verses 23 through 26. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Let me stop here for a moment. One of the stumbling blocks to prayer is unforgiveness. This verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. We must forgive, saints. That is pivotal. That is what the scriptures hang on the law of the prophets and the apostles. Father God, we just ask, Lord, as we continue to minister, Lord, that you will continue to give me the words to say, that someone may hear this and someone may feel moved in their heart, God, to forgive. For when you don't forgive, I want to expound on forgiveness. When you don't forgive of a person or people, this unforgiveness is in the forefront of your mind. It consumes you. You talk about it all the time. And if it's a person at church, it's hard for you to look at that person. And sometimes it can get violent. You can be walking down an aisle, facing each other, and a person can just push you. Yes, I've had that happen to me. Just push me. They didn't like me. And that's okay. I mean, now I'm over it and gone past it. I'm just letting you know what can happen to you in the church. Unforgiveness. Yes, saints do fight. Yes, they do. Yeah, they do. You will say words that will let other people know where you stand spiritually and exactly how you feel about that person. And if they ask you, you're more than willing to tell them the situation. Now you're putting your problems off on somebody else, particularly if they have itching ears and they want to hear what's going on instead of asking your sister, brother, can I pray for you to help you through this situation? So your blessing will not be blocked. We sing the song, praises go up, blessings come down. Yes, they do, but if there's unforgiveness in your heart, and you can't forgive the brother or sister you see, but you just all love God who you've never seen. The Bible says you are a lie and the truth is not in you. Read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So forgiveness is key. How do we even become Christians? God forgave us. And he does not, and we are not consumed, praise God, we are not consumed because of our iniquity. He has not dealt with us after our sins. As far as the east is from the west, he has forgiven us. We must, if we expect to grow and mature in God, we must forgive. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That putting on the righteousness of God, understanding the need to forgive, will help to protect your heart. But you say, oh, he did me so wrong. Oh, my husband, my wife, my child, the pastor, the sister, the brother, the siblings, the mother, the father, did me so wrong. It could be rape. It could be incest. It can be they stole my money. It could be they shot me. They paralyzed me. They cut off my future. Just whatever, however bad it can be. The harder the problem, the harder the tribulation, the deeper you have to forgive. But you say, I cannot forgive. And those of us who will hear your story will say, oh, my God, yes, that's difficult. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a solution. You might not have it in you to forgive. You might not want to forgive. You might not know how to forgive. You might cannot forgive. But there's a prayer you can pray. You can say all of this to the Lord. Lord, that person made me so angry I want to shoot him. If I had a gun, I'd kill him. Father God, I can't stand them. Father, I don't like them. They make my flesh crawl. All of those things, I will confess it to the Lord. Yes, I will talk to him straight up and tell him how I felt. And then I will say, but the word says I have to forgive. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me to forgive. Lord, I don't even want to pray this prayer, but I know I have to. Father, help me to forgive this person and these people. Father, help me to walk in love toward them. Father, help me. Help me, Lord. Give me the willingness to want to forgive. And I'm a witness. He will do it. I had a situation, if I may be transparent for a moment, I had a situation in my life where I felt the pastor had did me wrong. I felt part of the church had did me wrong. They would get up and preach, and when the evangelist would get up and didn't have nothing to say, they would preach on me. People knew it was me. They would turn around and laugh at my face. I'm a young person. I'm in my early 20s, 21, 22, 23, 24. Hurt so bad, the Holy Spirit said to me later on in life, you were so wounded, you will never know how deeply wounded you were. But I got to a point in my life when I heard a man by the name of Fred Price, and he went to Mark 11:23-26, and he talked about forgiveness. My heart ached, because I hated these people. I got to a point in my life where it came up before me, and I knew I could not grow. I could not grow. I could not do the things that God had called me to do. So what did I do? I prayed that prayer. I was honest with the Lord. I said, Lord, I cannot. I will not. I don't know how. But help me. Help me, oh God. Help me. Help me to be able to forgive these people. They're stunting my growth. They're going on. A couple of them married millionaires. A couple of them married and divorced. A lot of them married and had children, which I have foster kids because I couldn't have children. A lot of them married wealthy, some of these same people. A lot of them today live in big fancy houses, drive big fancy cars. Their kids have gone on to college. They have grandchildren. I have none of that. These same people who I felt abused me beyond, just beyond. But I said, Lord, help me to forgive regardless of what they have and what I don't have. Because what I don't have is because I let unforgiveness get in my way and block my future. It made me to make bad decisions that are irrevocable. There's nothing I can do about them. You don't want this to be a stumbling block in your life. It's a stumbling block in a lot of Christians' lives. The scripture in Matthew 18:7 says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. Offenses are going to come to you. But woe to the man by whom the offense is committed. Woe to the man that brings the offense. Let me finish my testimony. Many years later, one of the instigators of this situation had to take my son to the doctor. He had asthma. An asthma attack. So I was sitting in the waiting room. And when I saw this young lady, she saw me, she got nervous. Now, why would she get nervous? To be honest with you guys, I'm not a fighter. Never have been. Don't like to fight. Don't like that kind of stuff. not a fighter, not even a verbal fighter. But like anyone else, you back me up in the corner, I'm going to come out like anybody else. So, but that's not my nature. It's never been. And so we started to talk. She apologized to me for what she caused to happen in my life. She apologized to me. And I told her I forgave her. But now she was so wounded because the situation had backfired on her and her children. She was so wounded, and I felt sorry for her. But I had moved on. I said, I've forgiven you. I've forgiven all the people involved. And then when she started telling me some of the situations that those people found themselves in, and I'm going to tell you, saints of God, and even people who are not saints, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You don't know who God's anointed is. You don't know who God has pegged to do certain things in the future. You need to be careful. The scripture says, woe to the man by whom the offense comes. That's why you need to protect your heart. Offenses will come, and when they come, you don't want to have unforgiveness in your heart. You want to be able to look that person in the face and honestly say, I have nothing against them, whether they like you or not. Whether they, even if you've gone to them and they say, I don't care what you say. And I've been in situations where I have seen that happen. People have gone to people and says, I offended you, I'm sorry, can we talk about it? And the person who claimed to have been offended didn't want to talk. Well, then you know what? You still have to forgive. And you still have to move on. Now, I'm talking about forgiveness because I know it's a very seldom taught scripture. Very seldom taught. But very seldom taught. But it's what God has forgiven us, so we have to forgive other people. And how many times? 70 times 7. So to protect your heart, you have to carry that breastplate of righteousness. Here's a little something I wanted to read to you. Just as the breastplate is a metaphor for righteousness, the heart which it covers is a metaphor for a believer's new will, all that the believer is, the new creation, the new creature. A heart guard is a fitting description of what Christ imputed righteousness does to cover the weaknesses of the flesh. So the new creature, the new will, may continue to put on Christ's righteous character. So Christ gives us his righteousness. So now we have a new will. We have a new desire. Our whole desire, our whole world is turned. We did a 180-degree turn. So now we have Christ's righteousness. And it covers our heart. And he's imputed righteousness to us. He's given us his righteousness to us. And it covers our heart. And it's a new will. And when a Christian soldier is striving against sin or temptation, and one of Satan's darts of doubt, fear, hate, bitterness, forgiveness can turn into resentment, which can turn into hate. You do not want to be named a Christian with hate in your heart. Oh, God forbid. Lust, jealousy, envy, or discouragement gets past the shield of faith. When these things get past our shield of faith, it hits the breastplate of righteousness. It hits our heart. The dart may hit the armor with such force that the soldier falls backward. But his spiritual life has not been extinguished. He is stunned because he didn't see it coming. He is on the ground wondering how he ended up there. But he's looking up. He doesn't want to be there. He is still zealous for Christ's righteous character. Humbled by the experience, he gets to his knees and can boldly come to the throne of grace and prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. He asks forgiveness in the name and merit of Christ. his captain and advocate, and request greater resolve to overcome when the tempter is permitted to engage him in battle again. Our merciful Father in heaven, forgiving the sin, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and brings him to his feet again, providing a word of encouragement for him. And through that experience, he may help his brethren to stand in similar battles. For a righteous man will fall 7 times and will rise again. Oh, praise God. In fighting and wearing his armor and wearing his breastplate as the darts of life and the situations in life come against us, the opportunity is there to fall. It's always there to fall. But having on this breastplate of righteousness, it will hit us, it might even knock us down, like we said. But it can't penetrate. It can't penetrate to your heart. Because you have on Christ's righteousness. And some things do penetrate us too hard. It does. But having on Christ's righteousness, it doesn't stay there. Because we put on the armor. That's if we put on the armor. Now, if we don't have the armor on, then what can I say? But if you have the armor on, those darts will hit you. They will hit you like a bulletproof vest. It will hit you. And if you've noticed, even on TV, when they get shot in the chest with a bulletproof vest, it knocks them out. The bullet doesn't go through the bulletproof vest, but the impact knocks them out. Sometimes it knocks them out cold. And that can happen to us. Yes, it can. But thank God we can get up, we can ask God to forgive us, we can repent, and we can move on. Sometimes we tend to wallow and want to stay in it, but saints of God, let's not do that. We are in a time where the world is ever-changing. There's so many songs out there, the world's ever-changing, but Jesus, the God, you remain the same. Please order my steps. And I'll praise your name. We sing those songs. Do we really know what we're saying? Yes, I think we do. We're living in a time where innocent children have been shot dead. National, international news. Not one time, many times in the United States. Columbine, Kent State for you. People who understand back in the 70s and 80s, Kent State. Now we got Columbine. Now we have various other schools where kids have walked in and shot people dead. And now it's gone from the high school down to the elementary students. Oh, my God. Children 4, 5, and 6 years old. My God. The world is changing. Our tax structure has increased. Let's just get where it really hurts, the money. Well, now we've talked about a fiscal cliff, and I think we've sort of fallen off, where our paychecks are $75 to $100 less per week, per every 2 weeks. And then the cost of food is going up, the utilities are going up, the cost of clothes are going up, cost of cars, rent, everything is going up, but our paychecks are shrinking. Oh, saints of God, guard your heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. Know that God will protect you. He will provide for you, as in Philippians 4. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And there's one more part to this I think we need to talk about. We need to hit upon. Let me just go to Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that scripture is for the saints of God. To the sinner man, he says, yet saved. But to the saints of God, he says there's 66 books that you can read and glean and understand my nature, my character. We want to be like Moses. He showed his ways unto Moses, but his acts unto the children. We want to be like Moses. We want to know his ways. Because if we know his ways, we already automatically know his acts. We want to continue to guard our heart against all these things that are out there in the world, things that can, the doubt that God can help me, because he can. The word of God says he can. The fear that's out there. He's given us, not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. The fear that's out there. Our unbelief, we can pray, Lord, help our unbelief. The faith that we can glean from reading the scriptures. But there's another segment of this I want to talk about, is loving your fellow man, loving your brother. Paul said, I can give my body to be burned. I can give to the poor, but if I don't have charity, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I'm just a big bag of noise. The world knows that we're Christians because of our love for each other, the way we treat each other, the way we handle each other. We don't go around and put our Christian laundry on national TV or on the YouTube. Or the internet. We don't do that. Yes, we have things that happen within the Christian community that does not need to be bandied about. It needs to be handled within the body of Christ. So we can't control other people, but we can control ourselves. And in our world, we need to be careful how we treat our brother and our sister. The world is changing. The world is going through a paradigm shift. There's a new spiritual dimension. Knowledge is increasing, and secular knowledge is increasing just as secular knowledge is increasing. The understanding and a deeper understanding of the Word of God is increasing. You know, change is difficult for all of us. Change is difficult. But as the world is changing, as the Lord is revealing himself more and more to his people, we need to get with the change. We need to understand what he's doing in the earth. We need to, as an example, when I was growing up in a Pentecostal church, there was no such thing as liturgical dancing. They would turn the music on, play the music, people get happy and they shout or they dance. There was no liturgical music. There were no orchestras. The praise and worship was totally different. Now God has moved us in a dimension where now there's liturgical dance in most churches I've been to. They even have mimes. There are some of them have orchestras and bands, and I think all of that's wonderful. But all I'm saying is that's the kind of move I'm talking about, where God is moving his people as he reveals himself more and more. Now, it's always been in the scriptures. We just didn't interpret it that way or could not interpret it. And for those who have a problem with dancing and singing praises to God, I advise you, don't go to heaven. Or if you've got a problem with the re-revelation, it will explain to you what's going to happen in heaven. But we must keep on the armor of God, and we must continue to to guard our hearts. And you say, well, why? And I say, because there are rewards. We live this Christian life that you're living life. Whether saint or sinner, you're going to have trials and tribulations. The difference is we have a formula. We have a tried and true method of how to live right, how to live an abundant life, how to live a good life as free of unnecessary stress as possible. Because you should not carry no one's cross but your own. Keeping your heart guarded. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Be careful that you're not running back and forth and making the offenses to people. Forgiving people, being concerned by what you say. And you say, why, Sophia? I say, because there are rewards. There are great rewards for us that are overcomers. What rewards are you talking about, Sophia? I say, if you read in Revelation chapter 3, there is a white garment that he'll give you, and he will confess your name before the Father. He will allow you to eat of the tree of life. He will give you a crown of life. He will give to you to eat of the hidden manna. He will give you a white stone, and he will give you a new name. He will give you power over the nation. Then he will make you a pillar in the temple of God. He will write upon you the name of God, New Jerusalem, and the name of Jesus. And he will give you to sit with Jesus in his throne. Now, if you read Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it explains all of that. But I'm just letting you know the rewards that you get. The initial reward that you get is everlasting life, eternal life. Once you accept Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That's why Christians should not be afraid of death. Because when you die, you go from one dimension to the next. You just walk from one dimension to the next. To be absent from the body, Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. All of this from guarding your heart and wearing the armor of God, maturing in Christ, becoming more like him, doing what he's given you to do. You've walked out your destiny, and when it's time for you to make your transition, you have all these wonderful rewards, plus you're with Jesus, plus he gives you crowns. There are 5 crowns, and I'm not going to list all the crowns tonight. He gives you a wonderful way. He's given us benefits. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. He gives us benefits in Psalms 103. He forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He crowns our life. He will renew our strength like the eagles. I think of Caleb, who, first of all, was not a Hebrew, who was one of the 10 spies who went to spy out the land. He was 85 years old, and God strengthened him and he had the strength of a 16-year-old. My prayer, Father, help me to have the strength of a 16-year-old, even at the age of 60. And I felt that I was a little old to get back into the ministry, which I probably never should have gotten out, but I did. And I thought about Moses. Moses was in the backside of the desert for 40 years. He was 80 years old when God called him. 80. He lived to be 120. Now, my sights are not set on 120, but surely God will use me at the age of 60. But even with all my life experiences, I have understood what it means to walk in love toward my fellow brother and my fellow sister. Even on the job, sometimes it's hard and difficult when I know they did gross injustice and treated people wrong. And when I have to sit up there in staff meetings and look at them and grin and smile because it's politically correct. In my heart, I have prayed, Lord, don't let me be a phony. But also let me be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Let me be able to forgive these people. Not only am I talking about those in the church, but I'm talking about those in your world. Let me to walk in love, Father, I pray. I pray this. Lord, let me to walk in love. Let me not be a deceitful person. Let me continue to keep on the armor of God. And that's what I pray. And that's what I say, and that's what I pray for myself, and that's what I pray for the listening audience tonight. Father God, the words I've just prayed, oh God, I pray for the audience. Father, that they will put on the armor, that they will get into your scriptures, that they will read the word, that they will endeavor to be more like you, that they will go through their trials and tribulations, protecting their hearts. Oh, it hurts, but God, we know that there's a salve you can put on it, the salve of the Holy Spirit. There's a balm in Gilead for healing, and there's a salve to heal us, oh God, when we are in a bad way. Christians can get in a bad way, oh God. But Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And if there's anyone out there right now, under the sound of my voice, who has not accepted the Lord as their Savior, I say to you, if not now, when? So you're in your 20s and 30s and you want to party and you want to live and you want to do this. But the next day is not guaranteed. And living a Christian life is a very, very exciting life. Oh, because we don't do the things you do. You think we're dull and boring, but I tend to differ with you. I grew up as a Christian. I went out there in the world. I found it to be the same old, same old, same old. I got back with the Lord, and it was like night and day. It was so different. Yes, I had problems when I came back to the Lord. Yes, I had problems in the Lord, but God helped me through. I didn't need substances. I didn't need alcohol. I didn't need drugs. I needed the Holy Spirit. I needed the Word of God, and it got me through situations that perhaps the regular Christian or not the regular Christian, but perhaps an unsaved person would not have been able to get through it without assistance from substances. So I say to you, confess the Lord Jesus in your heart. Believe that God raised him from the dead. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Tell someone that you believe. You got to confess it. And he will save you. Whosoever will, let him come. Now, I would like to offer a prayer of salvation up. Dear Heavenly Father, you repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that I have wronged you. I have lived a life of sin. And Father, I'm coming to you tonight, just confessing to you that I'm a sinner. And Father, I ask you into my heart. Yes, I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he died, and that he rose again. And that now he sits on the right hand of God the Father. Father God, I ask you into my heart. Cleanse me, Father. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for my salvation in Jesus' name. If you've said that, you are now a Christian. And what I would like for you to do is to email us at kingdomdaughters1@yahoo.com and let us know that you've accepted the Lord. And then we will have some further instructions for you. If you've accepted the Lord and you have a church home that's teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, that loves God's people, then I suggest you go there. I suggest also you get a Bible. Now, there are a lot of Bibles out there. I favor the King James and the New King James. So I suggest, that's my preference. But there are a lot of Bibles out there. Just be careful of the Bible you get. If you know a Christian who's living a Christian life, then get there, ask them what Bible they use. So you get the correct one. When I say correct, there are some out there that I would not recommend and I would not say over the air, but to get the full essence of what God is about, go to, if you know a Christian, go to the Christian and ask them what Bible they use, and hopefully they will give you, and then you can go and purchase you one. We thank you for listening in tonight, and we trust that you got something out of this message tonight. We trust that you heard what the Spirit of God was saying to you. We trust that it has touched your heart. We trust that it has moved you to repentance. We trust that it has put something on your mind. We trust that it has been helpful to you. And we would like to hear from you. So please email us, Kingdom Daughters, KINGDOMDAUGHTERS, one, at yahoo.com. Now again, this is Minister Sophia Parks, standing in for Prophetess Teresa Phillips Docks. And please, she will be back next week at the regular time. And please come back. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to have you as part of our listening audience. Also, next week, I will be ministering right after Prophetess Teresa. My normal time will be 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and Prophetess Teresa is 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. So to all who are listening, we hope that you will come back next week, same time, where Prophetess Teresa will then be ministering. Also, we'd like to have you join us on our prayer line, freeconferencepro.com. Or you can just and go to Kingdom Daughters, or you can call us at, the prayer line number is 1-218-895-0280, and the access code is 7729#. If you need prayer, please call us. We'll be there 5 days a week, 6 o'clock Eastern Time, which is 5 o'clock Central Standard Time. So please join us there. Until next week, we trust that you will walk in love, walk in faith, and keeping on the armor of Christ. God bless.